Hello and welcome to Natasha Explains It All, and welcome to season four of Natasha Explains It All. I am doing a baker's dozen for each season. So each season has 13 episodes. So we are now on episode 40, and therefore the first episode of season four and the first episode of 2024. So pretty cool. So welcome and thank you for being here. And fittingly, with this being the first episode of season four and the first episode of the year, I'm actually returning to the very first topic that I covered in my podcast, which is a comparison of the US and Brazilian insurrections to overturn the election results of the 2020 presidential election in the United States and the 2022 presidential election in Brazil, led by Trump and Bolsonaro, respectively. Now, why am I bringing up this topic again, in the beginning of 2024? Well, the reason being that this past week, there were some serious developments related to the insurrection activities of both the former president of the United States and the former president of Brazil, and happening on the very same day. So I thought we would dive into that and get caught up on what is happening in these simultaneous efforts to undermine democracy in the United States and in Brazil, particularly given how much Bolsonaro has modeled his efforts after Trump's, and with them being advised by the same people. So what happened last week? So on February 8th of last week, it was revealed that Bolsonaro was the target of a federal investigation related to his attempted coup to overturn the election results from the 2022 presidential election in Brazil and to remain in power. And his passport was seized as part of this operation, so he can't flee the country. Which, if you may recall from my earlier episodes, he did when the inauguration following the 2022 presidential election in Brazil happened. When the coup, like when the attack on the Capitol, the insurrection happened with his supporters, which was January 8th, 2023, he was in Florida. He was in Miami hanging out with DeSantis or who knows. But yeah, that's where favorite place of Latin American dictators and wannabe dictators to hang out. So he was actually in the United States when that insurrection happened. And now that his passport has been seized, he won't be able to do that again. And as part of this investigation, he is also banned from contacting other suspects. And the other people who are suspects in this federal investigation, including some of the people that were arrested, are various aides from his administration, including various military officials who were part of the attempt to overthrow the election results and to keep Bolsonaro in power. So we've got February 8th, Bolsonaro, his passport is seized as part of this operation, this federal investigation into his attempted coup to keep him in power on January 8th of 2023, following the October 2022 presidential election in Brazil. Now, as part of this attempted coup plot, he also planned to arrest two Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court of Brazil is called the Supremo Tribunal Federal, and he was planning to arrest two Supreme Court justices, Gilmar Mendes and Alexandre de Moraes, and I'll come back to Alexandre de Moraes in just a second. And he also planned to arrest the then Senate President, Rodrigo Pacheco, and hold a new election. So there was this whole scheme about what they were going to do to stage a coup. Now, I mentioned that one of the Supreme Court justices that he planned to arrest is this guy named Alexandre de Moraes. And digressing for just a second, Alexandre de Moraes is going to come up again and again as an important figure in upholding democracy in Brazil. And if you are interested in doing a deeper dive into Alexandre de Moraes' role in the past few years with regard to Bolsonaro and Brazilian democracy, there's actually a podcast called Alexandre that is only 6 episodes and goes much more into depth about him. It is only in Portuguese, but if you speak Portuguese or learning Portuguese, I recommend the podcast. Again, it's called Alexandre, and it's hosted by Revista Piauí and Trovão Media. And again, it talks about this Supreme Court Justice, Alexandre de Moraes, and his critical role in ensuring not only that the 2022 presidential election happened, but also then in thwarting the attempted coup on January 8th of 2023. So Bolsonaro, former president of Brazil, is under federal investigation right now related to this attempted coup to keep himself in power after he lost the 2022 presidential election. And as part of this investigation, in terms of details that have come out so far, in addition to those goals that I mentioned of arresting certain officials and hosting a new election, there was also an effort to prevent the election from even happening in the first place. There is a video that has been released, which, going back to Alexandre de Moraes, the Supreme Court Justice, he authorized the lifting of the secrecy of this video that was found on the computer of one of the military officials that was part of Bolsonaro's cabinet, this guy named Lieutenant Colonel Mauro Cigi. He had this video on his computer that was of this meeting that Bolsonaro had with various ministers and officials discussing the coup plot, right? What his plan was to subvert the presidential election and maintain power. And that meeting happened on June 5th of 2022. So it happened several months before the October 2022 presidential election. And he was planning to prevent the election from happening. And the audio, like this video, he shares a bunch of conspiracy theories that he has, which sounds familiar, of course. And as part of his coup plot, he encouraged the other ministers, like the political ministers, to spread misinformation about the election and to cast doubt on the integrity of Brazil's voting machines. Again, also sound familiar? And I've mentioned in a prior episode, the thing about the voting machines is particularly alarming in terms of copying the Trump playbook, because Brazil has used solely electronic voting for many decades without issue. It works really well, and Brazilians know the results of elections the same day. Everyone votes electronically, everyone votes on the same day, and the results come in real time, right? Because it's all electronic. And so this particularly sinister and cynical angle to cast doubt on the integrity of the voting machines that Brazil was using was not only inconsistent with how Brazil has run its elections since, Brazil only became a democracy starting in 88 was when the new constitution was signed. 85 was when the military dictatorship ended. And so, but as part of Brazil's democracy, like, they have been using electronic voting for decades without issue. And so Bolsonaro, particularly using that to as part of his coup plot, is just very indicative of how much the Trump camp's tactics influence Bolsonaro's tactics. So, and as part of this coup attempt as well, there was actually like a written decree, like an actual physical decree that he helped edit, allegedly, that indicated all of the steps that were going to happen with the coup. And in November of 2022, shortly after the presidential election, the commanders of the various armed forces of Brazil met with Bolsonaro And they were presented with this coup decree, you know, what the plot was now. Now that Lula has won, what are they going to do to prevent Lula from assuming power and from Bolsonaro in being able to maintain power? So that's going on in Brazil right now. And it's interesting to see like what Bolsonaro's response has been, because it has been quite different, let's say, than Trump's reaction to the million and one cases against him, which I'll get into in a moment. But you know, Bolsonaro is still complaining, like Trump, that he's being persecuted. This is all political. But there's, I think it's funny, a statement that Bolsonaro gave to the press, which is basically, "Me esquecem, já tem outro governando o país," which translates to like, "Forget about me. There is already somebody else like running the country now." So he's basically like, "I'm not relevant anymore, so please forget about me. I don't want to be part of this investigation." It's quite a different tone than we've heard from Trump. So that has been Bolsonaro's public reaction to this investigation. And it's important to distinguish between this investigation that's happening right now related to his involvement in the attempted coup of January 8th, 2023, and the plot leading up to January 8th, 2023. Bolsonaro was already separately convicted in a separate matter last year, which was related to his abuse of power in his re-election campaign. And this was also heard by the Supreme Court of Brazil and decided in June of 2023. And what he was found guilty of is abusing his power in his re-election campaign and casting unfounded doubts on the country's electronic voting system. He and some of his people filed a request to annul most of the ballots and basically annulling the election results. And as a result of that case, Bolsonaro was banned from running for office for 8 years. So Bolsonaro is already ineligible to run for office for 8 years because of this 2023 case regarding abuses related to his election campaign and him casting doubt on the democratic voting system of Brazil. And now there is a separate investigation specific to the coup attempt. And he hasn't been formally charged yet, so it is still to be determined what is going to come out of that. One thing I wanted to mention about the 2023 case that he, again, was already that he was already adjudicated about is this element of how much misinformation and he was spreading and casting unfounded doubt on the country's electronic voting system. And I want to read a couple of quotes from members of the Supreme Court regarding that decision. Again, the 2023 case against Bolsonaro that has rendered him ineligible for public office for 8 years, because I think that these quotes speak to it's just very refreshing to see such honesty and such just facing the facts from Supreme Court justices, because it's a huge problem we're having in the United States, given that we have a 6-3 far right majority, three of those six being appointed by Trump himself. And I'll get to that more in a second. But the quotes, then, a couple of quotes from the Brazilian Supreme Court in regarding the June 2023 decision that resulted in Bolsonaro being banned from running for office for 8 years. One is from Judge Carmen Lucia, stating that, quote, "the facts are incontrovertible," close quote. Continuing with the quote, quote, "the meeting did take place. It was convened by the then president. Its content is available. It was examined by everyone, and there was never a denial that it did happen," close quote. And again, she is referring to the parallels are so crazy. I've been talking about a couple of different meetings, so I apologize if it's a little confusing. I'm referring to, again, this is the 2023 case against Bolsonaro related to his abuse of power in the re-election, in his re-election campaign, and specifically around the unfounded doubt that he casts on Brazil's voting system. And the meeting that the judge, Carmen Lucia, is referring to and saying that, like, the facts are incontrovertible, we all know that this meeting happened, we know it was said, is referring to a meeting that happened back in July 18th of 2022. And it was a meeting where Bolsonaro used government staffers, the state television channel, and the presidential palace in Brasilia to tell foreign ambassadors that the country's electronic voting system was rigged. So he was spreading misinformation, including to foreign ambassadors, about the country, about the Brazil's voting system. So that might sound familiar. And then another quote, this one from Alexandre de Moraes, the Supreme Court justice that I have mentioned before, said that the decision represents rejection of, quote, populism reborn from the flames of hateful, anti-democratic speech that promotes heinous disinformation, close quote. And I think that quote, populism reborn from the flames of hateful, anti-democratic speech that promotes heinous disinformation, is so applicable to how Trump has done everything. And I wish that there were more mainstream media outlets and more political figures, as well as members of our Supreme Court and the courts generally, who would speak so honestly about what is at stake. So that's what's going on at this moment in Brazil. And I want to tie it over to what's happening in the United States, because as I mentioned last week on February 8th, not only did this investigation into Bolsonaro and his passport being seized happen and become news, but there was also something quite critical happening in the United States related to insurrection charges against Trump. Now, briefly before I do that, I want to mention a little bit more about the Brazilian Supreme Court, and I've been referencing the a few of the judges, and the Supreme Court of Brazil is also overseeing this new investigation regarding the insurrection plot. And the Supreme Court of the United States is playing such a major role in the fate of democracy and Trump's ability to participate in this year's election. So I want to do a little comparison between the courts. So the Brazilian Supreme Court has 11 members, and that is determined by constitution. In contrast, the United States Supreme Court has 9 members, and that is not a constitutional requirement. It's just been a tradition, but that number can be increased or decreased really at any time. But in Brazil, it's 11 members, and that is a Brazilian constitutional requirement. Similarly to the United States, in Brazil, candidates for the Brazilian Supreme Court are nominated by the president and then confirmed by the Senate. Another difference, though, is that in Brazil, even though the Supreme Court justices, they basically serve in as long as they're in good behavior, they do have an obligatory retirement at the age of 70. And that is quite different from the United States, because all federal judges, not just the Supreme Court, but all federal judges have life tenure. And there is a caveat to that, like it's all what are referred to as Article 3 judges, referring to a particular part of the Constitution. They have life tenure. Federal magistrate judges don't have life tenure, but that is not the distinction that matters for right now, because we're talking about the Supreme Courts of Brazil and the United States. And for the Supreme Court of the United States, it's life tenure. For Brazilian Supreme Court justices, they have to retire at the age of 70, which would, if that was the case in the United States, would really come in handy right now to preserve democracy in the United States, because there are two justices on the U.S. Supreme Court right now who are over the age of 70, who are actually like the most extreme of the extreme justices. And that's Alito, who's 73, and Thomas, who's 75. And they are major impediments to democracy and various categories of civil rights, labor rights, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, the power of the federal government, like clean air, anything. They are always voting against the people and in favor of corporate interests and consolidating power for the powerful and the wealthy. So it would be interesting and quite helpful to the preservation of democracy in the United States if the United States also had an obligatory retirement age of 70 for our Supreme Court. But we do not, while Brazil does. So all right. So that's a little bit about the Brazilian Supreme Court in comparison to the U.S. Supreme Court. And now I want to turn it over to, or I want to turn now to what's going on in the U.S. and what's happening with the U.S. Supreme Court and Trump. So on February 8th, while Bolsonaro was turning over his passport and being investigated by the federal police regarding his coup attempt, the Supreme Court of the United States was hearing oral arguments in a case challenging whether Trump can even be on the ballot this year. And what that case was about, what that case is about, because the Supreme Court has not ruled on it yet, is about the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution bars from office those who have previously taken an oath of office and then engaged in insurrection. And the state of Colorado, in interpreting the federal constitution, determined that Trump has committed insurrection and therefore is ineligible and will not appear on Colorado's presidential election ballot this year. So that is now before the United States Supreme Court to determine whether the insurrection clause of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution applies to Trump, and whether, therefore, he is ineligible to run for office. And so that was happening on February 8th as well. Now, I don't know how the Supreme Court is going to rule, but I can tell you my prediction is that they're going to rule in his favor, and they're going to say, because he hasn't been actually convicted yet of insurrection, he can run. That's what I think is going to happen. And it probably, it'll be at least 6-3. Definitely all of the conservative justices are going to vote in favor of him staying on the ballot. And they might make some arguments about how, like, this is important for the sake of democracy to let the voters decide who, you know, who should be their president, which completely undermines the whole point of the insurrection clause. The whole point is the insurrection clause is to prevent us from having people who are anti-democratic being able to resume power. And the whole point of the insurrection that Trump committed was to invalidate the votes of all of the tens of millions of Americans who didn't vote for him. So he was trying to invalidate the democratic participation of tens of millions of Americans. And yet the Supreme Court, I think, is likely to say, like, oh, this is about making sure the, you know, the American people get to vote. Well, he was trying to prevent people from voting. He was trying to prevent people from having their ballots counted. That is the whole point of the insurrection clause. And he's a perfect candidate for it, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the state of Colorado. But I don't think the Supreme Court is going to agree with me, and they are definitely going to say, I shouldn't say definitely, I think it's highly likely that they are going to vote in favor of him being able to remain on the ballot. So we'll see what happens with that. And as a result of that, well, there's so many cases going on with Trump that I know that it is hard to keep track. So I want to help like put all of those in order so we're keeping things straight, you know, because we were talking about Bolsonaro and he's got these two different cases. Trump has like a bunch of different cases. So the case I was just talking about, which is this Colorado case that is about whether Trump can even appear on the ballot in this year's presidential election. That's just one of the cases. And it's not even one of the cases that's like, I mean, it is about him, but it's not one of the like many cases where like he's even the defendant. So I want to like quickly review what all of those are and then circle back to the Supreme Court case because there is another case the Supreme Court is going to be hearing very soon related to Trump and the insurrection. So Trump has a case against him in federal court in Florida regarding his mishandling of classified documents. That's, remember, the case about him taking a bunch of documents from the White House that are classified that he should not have taken and hiding them in the bathroom and closets and who knows and all of that at Mar-a-Lago. That's the first case. Another case, he's got a hush money case going on in New York. That's a state case that is related to him paying money to a porn star that he had a relationship with while he was with Melania and paid her off so that she wouldn't speak out about that relationship during the 2016 presidential election. And that case is ongoing and is scheduled for trial in March, I believe. So we'll see if that is what if that continues to actually go forward. Then we have the insurrection case, the January 6th case that's being tried in federal court in Washington. So I'm going to loop back to that in a moment. We also have another state case in Georgia related to him interfering with the 2020 election. Then there's another case in New York. There's been multiple cases actually related to E. Jean Carroll, who is a woman that he raped in the 90s. And she has brought several defamation lawsuits against him because he has been publicly defaming her and saying that it didn't happen and calling her a liar and saying all these horrible things about her. And he's lost like multiple times and is going to have to pay a lot of money related to that. And then there's also another New York case that's related to the Trump Organization, and that's a civil fraud case. And they've already been found liable for having committed boatloads of fraud related to the business. And now it's the question of like what kind of sanctions are going to be put in place against the Trump Organization. And it could include preventing Trump and his children from ever doing business in the state of New York again. We're not there yet, but that case is going on well, and he's already been found liable. It's just a matter of what the punishment is going to be. So we've got like all of these cases going on. We've got state cases and federal cases related to all of this corrupt and criming behavior. So Trump's got all of these different cases going on. In addition to these cases, right, where he is like the direct defendant, there are other cases and elements going on. We talked about this challenge coming out of Colorado about whether he's even eligible to be on the ballot because he engaged in insurrection and our Constitution, excuse me, has a provision to prevent people from engaging in an insurrection and then being eligible for office. Now, as I mentioned, there are two cases that Trump is currently being prosecuted for that are related to his insurrectionist activity. One is the Georgia state case about him interfering in the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia. And then the federal case that's being held in DC regarding his insurrection activities, the coup attempt, January 6th, all of that. The case that you may have heard this name, Jack Smith, he is a special counsel through the Department of Justice that is handling that case. So Trump is being charged in both state court in Georgia and federal court in DC related to these insurrectionist activities, but has not been, found guilty in either case yet. And while that's going on, the Supreme Court is deciding whether he can even appear on the ballot based on the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment of the US Constitution. And in addition, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing another case related to Trump and the election and the insurrection, which is in this federal case where he is being charged with inciting a coup. He has claimed immunity, saying that because all of these activities occurred while he was president, he is completely immune from any type of prosecution, which is insane. And the DC Court of Appeals said the same, was like, no, you can't be immune from literally everything. You are not above the law, even as president. But they held that their decision in abeyance while the to allow Trump time to appeal it to the Supreme Court and to see what the Supreme Court is going to say. And his deadline to do so is the day that this comes out. This episode will come out on Monday, February 12th. And so today, Monday, February 12th, is his deadline to appeal the DC Court of Appeals determination that he's not immune from criminal prosecution. And then the Supreme Court will get to decide whether it's going to take up that appeal. I expect Trump is going to appeal. And as I mentioned, Monday, February 12th is his deadline to do so. And then the Supreme Court will have before it two cases related to Trump's insurrection activities and his eligibility for this year's election. And what the Supreme Court decides to do about this case is going to have momentous consequences. And again, this is the case, it is a federal case against him for his attempted coup. And there are several criminal charges brought against him. And there was a trial scheduled for March 4th that has now been on hold, been put on hold. And as part of Trump's various delay tactics, he has argued that he is immune from this prosecution, which is causing this appeal process to happen while the greater case is like basically on hold. And so him making this immunity argument, the DC Court of Appeals is like, nope, you're not immune. And so now he gets to appeal to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will get to decide what to do. And there's basically two main things the Supreme Court could do. The Supreme Court could choose not to hear the appeal, which would mean that the DC Court of Appeals decision stands and Trump will not be immune from prosecution and that case will go forward. The Supreme Court could also decide to hear the case. And if it does that, then it can still rule, for or against him. But if the Supreme Court does decide to hear the case, it's just going to introduce more delay, which is Trump's plan. That's what he's banking on. Because if he becomes even just the official Republican nominee, it will make a lot of these investigations go away because it will be seen as election interference to continue to prosecute him while he's the official Republican nominee. And if he were to win the election, which I don't think is going to happen, but if he were, then he could just decide to end certainly all of the federal prosecutions against him. So I think what is going to happen is that the Supreme Court I don't think the Supreme Court is going to rule in his favor. I don't think, even though he's appointed three of the nine justices, I don't think that they're going to rule that he's immune from prosecution. However, I think they are going to take their sweet time to rule on it and delay ruling against him long enough that it will basically prevent that prosecution from being completed before the November election. And so, yeah, basically taking the teeth out of that prosecution, assuming he wins. If he loses, then that prosecution could still move forward. And I think he will lose. But I think that's what the Supreme Court is going to do. I think they'll take up the case. They'll schedule oral arguments, they'll hear oral arguments on it, and then they will rule against him because I don't think that they're going to find that like the president is just simply immune from everything forever. But they'll take their sweet time. And by taking their sweet time, they will be helping Trump. Now, in this insurrection case, again, that is being prosecuted by Jack Smith, special counsel from the Department of Justice related to his insurrection activities. There are four specific charges. Two are related to him disrupting an official proceeding, in this case, the election and the inauguration of Joe Biden. One charge of defrauding the US by attempting to subvert and overturn election results, and one charge of conspiracy to deprive citizens of their rights guaranteed by law. Specifically, the right to vote and to have their vote accurately counted. So, while we have an insurrection case going on in Brazil against the former president, Bolsonaro, we also have an insurrection case against the former president of the United States, Trump. And they, you know, these cases are happening in tandem. And their developments are happening in tandem, and they are going to have serious implications for democracy in both countries. Now, the threat in Brazil has been significantly reduced because Bolsonaro is no longer eligible to run for president, at least for 8 years, and his political relevancy in 8 years is highly questionable. Whereas in the US, you know, there hasn't been that kind of accountability yet. And we have to see how these cases play out and whether any of them are going to get far enough to be at a place that it is going to either prevent him from holding office or, you know, do enough additional damage to turn voters off from him. So, yeah, last week, particularly February 8th, there was a lot going on when it comes to insurrections and democracy in both Brazil and the United States. And we shall see what happens next. And it's a very important year in the United States because it's a presidential election. The next presidential election in Brazil won't be until 2026. So there's, you know, 2 year difference in between. So, yeah, a lot going on. But I find it really interesting to see the parallels between what's been happening in the countries and how our different judicial systems have responded. And how honestly the Brazilian judicial system is doing a better job at protecting democracy at this time. So that's enough and a lot for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Please reach out to me. And until next time, take care.